someone who comes over and is seeking asylum in the United States, right. What kind of situations have you personally seen?
Right. So the majority of people who are coming and who are being detained are from the Northern Triangle of Central America. That's Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. And there are also a lot of families from Mexico, too, increasingly. And each country is different. And so there might be different kind of political situations in each place. But a lot of the issues that people are facing, the violence that people are facing, have to do with gang-based violence, about kind of the way that drug trafficking organizations and gangs have basically become kind of political actors in those countries, to the extent that they are able to extort members of the community, and they commit really serious acts of violence and targeting of individuals in their communities. And so a lot of women are fleeing because of that. In addition, there's a lot of gender-based violence, either domestic violence situations or rape, other kinds of gender-based violence that are happening at the same time. And so a lot of the women that are fleeing with their kids are basically facing violence of some sort or the other, whether it has to do with gangs or with drug trafficking organizations or with intimate partners that they might have who might be abusive or violent toward them. And so there's a wide variety of different kinds of claims within that, and it depends a lot on the country. But that's basically two of the major issues that are coming out of Central America right now.
And in terms of the people, the how often do you get to talk to the people who are actually going through this? Or as a law student, are you mostly just like you have to do the paperwork and yes. do the stuff where you're not really connected? How often do you get to actually get to know on any level the people?
Yeah, so I get to talk to people quite a bit because of my Spanish-speaking ability, and which is why I would encourage anyone that wants to do direct work in this kind of area, really being able to speak the languages has been really great because it means that I'm able to have direct communication with the people that I'm working with. I probably speak with the clients that I'm working with either through the clinic. I'm in the Worker and Immigrants Rights Advocacy Clinic at my law school, or under the supervision of an attorney with ASAP. I speak with clients a few times a week. And it can be really simple stuff, just calling to do kind of check-ins to remind people about hearings and meetings, but also to do declarations and prepare, kind of figure out information for different kinds of legal filings that we might be doing. And I really enjoy the direct contact with people. That's been my favorite part of being a law student so far, and I'm sure it'll be one of my favorite parts of being an attorney also, is just being able to get to know someone and be close to them and work really hard with someone to prepare their case. That's been a really exciting thing for me. And I don't know if I really thought about that really when I was going to become a lawyer, how close and personal it was going to be in a lot of ways, but it has been. And I've just been very inspired by the clients that ASAP has worked with and really amazed by their strength and just their courage in face of kind of really horrible violence. And it's been a huge privilege for me to be able to talk to them. And so, yeah, that's been my favorite thing, I think, about it, has been just that aspect of it, talking to people. I don't know if people know about this, but in last year at this time, there were raids under the Obama administration. There were raids against this population, basically refugee families who had removal orders. And when that started happening last year, we became really concerned for people who had removal orders, especially those who had removal orders because they just didn't know about court. You know, they just didn't know they had court and they got a removal order because they didn't go. Those are called in absentia removal orders, and it can happen. It happens a lot. And it was one of the big reasons why we wanted to work with people after they've been released from detention, is trying to make sure that people know where to go and how to, you know, how to show up to their court hearing and that they need to be there, you know, just basic information about their case. And so we reached out to people that had passed through the detention centers. If we found out they had a removal order, especially one because they didn't show up to court, then we tried to work on their cases to reopen them. And so a lot of the cases we're working on right now are cases that we've reopened, that ASAP as an organization has worked on with the help of Michelle Mendez, who is an attorney at an organization in Washington, D.C. And we are working with those cases now to get them ready for their actual hearing, their actual asylum hearings. So we did outreach after the raids happened to make sure people knew that they had removal orders and knew how to reopen their cases if they did.